morning, everybody. Guess what day it is? It's hump day.
Mike. What day is it, Mike?
That's my camera.
Leslie, guess what today is?
He is my hump day, mascot. B-Flow's never been here for a hump day, so that you didn't give me a drum roll. You're supposed to give me a drum roll.
I didn't know I was supposed
okay,
to give
Okay, give me a drum roll. We're going to redo this. Let's All go. Right, guys, guess what day it is? It's hump day!
Mike. What day is it, Mike?
Leslie,
guess what today is?
Shout out to Humpty.
It's Hump
you know
Day.
That commercial. Okay. Brandon didn't know that commercial.
Nah, it's classic.
Brandon doesn't know anything. Listen, I'm Ashley Nicole Moss. I got B-Flow, Brandon Flowers with me. Brandon Marshall is in NOLA, so he's not going to be joining us today. But that's okay, because we got a jam-packed show anyway, and we're going to dive right into it. If you're just joining us, again, happy hump day. It's my favorite day of the work week. I don't know why. Like
Wednesday is their favorite
day like Wednesday is my favorite day of the work week, because I feel like Monday and Tuesday are like, I don't know, I'm still like unwinding from the weekend.
Yeah.
Friday, I'm just like, why am I here? Thursday is weird. I feel like Wednesday, I'm like my most energetic. I'm my most like awake. It's like the middle
For
of the
me,
week.
Wednesday
I've had like 2 days
that.
Of like good sleep because I'm like on weekday time. I don't know.
No, Wednesday is that like, all right, let's get to Friday
really?
Where my weekend starts. Like the week getting long. Like Wednesday, like let's get through it. Then one more day till Friday.
Well, I don't know. I like Wednesdays. So it's hump day. Maybe I just like saying hump day.
But that's why you came in with the tunes then. You
yeah,
came in with good
like,
energy. Like
when I did,
Roddy
I came in. So
going.
We came into the studio and I was like, I'm turning the speaker on. We got this massive speaker and I was playing Roddy Ricch, Please Excuse Me for Being Antisocial. I had to put Andrew on because he had never heard the album.
That's crazy.
Which is crazy to me. Like, I'm somebody who, like, I have friends who work, like, in music. Like, one of my good friends, Lo, he works for Apple Music and he's, like, a critic, I guess. And he works with, like, Ebro and stuff. And so, like, I have people who, like, actually work in it or, like, historians of music. I'm just, like, a lover of music. Growing up in New York, like, I was listening to, like, the Illmatic before I could probably, like, talk. Like, my dad had all those albums. Like, I knew the lyrics to Sugar Hill Gang before I probably knew my ABCs.
So you can't take a shower unless the right playlist
No,
on.
I have to have
you
music on. My mom thinks this is the weirdest thing. I
no,
have
I'm
to
the
have
same way.
I have
I'm
to have music
way.
On. Like I listen to music several parts of the day, like different vibes. For, like in the morning it's usually like Afro beats.
Yeah.
Like Burna
what
Boy
you know
and stuff like that.
Okay?
Or reggae. Like I like to start my mornings with reggae, like Bob Marley, like the classics. And then, like, around this time, afternoon, like, okay, I can, like, start getting into, like, rap and stuff. And then, like, at night, it's more kind of like, I don't know how I would explain it, more like the weekend type vibes or, like smooth rap. Like, nothing that's, like, crazy, like, club music. More like future type stuff. Like, I got different, like K-Camp. Yeah. So,
okay.
Yeah. Music is dope. So, that's my little spiel. We're going to dive into some football now because T.J. Watt apparently is the man of steel. Per Ian Rappaport, Pittsburgh Steelers star T.J. Watt suffered a badly dislocated finger and torn multiple ligaments in Sunday's win over Baltimore. Now, Watt just popped it back in and kept playing. The injury won't keep the DPOY candidate off the field after the team's bye this week. Now, this is where things get even more interesting. Watt may actually need surgery to repair the finger after the season, depending on how it heals. Now, obviously, continuing to play with it is going to prolong the healing process. But in the words of Mike Tomlin, he does not care, he being T.J. Watt. The Watt brothers are built different.
Yeah,
like,
they
this
built
is,
different.
This is insane.
Even when it popped up, I was like, his finger, like, he'll cut that off. He old school like Ronnie Lott, right? Like, he's a guy that is nothing going to keep this dude off the field. He's
crazy.
Like, you can tell, like, he loves to play the game, and there's nothing going to keep him off.
Right.
If he can walk, he out there. So,
have you ever, like, had an injury that was, like, crazy, but you also were like, I'm not coming out this game, so let me just, like, pop it back
listen,
into place?
Ash, I don't love football that much. If something hurt, listen, I am on the sideline. Even when I had my concussion, it's like, bro. You don't got no symptoms. You back. I was like, give me 2 more weeks just in case something ain't right. Like, nah, I don't love football that much.
B-Flow
like,
said, I don't love the game. I don't love the hustle. Not that
I'm
much.
Out there, you go get my all, but you got to get me out there
so
first.
So you never like popped your shoulder back into place? Like even in your, like in your younger days?
Okay, I will take that back. I had AC sprains. I did finish a season where I had to get my labrum surgically repaired after. But I mean, we deal with pain as athletes. If it's something that I think going to affect me after football, then I'm like, yo, you ain't getting me on this field. But
okay,
if,
so you're talking just, about like a major, like a broken or you're not going out there on a torn ACL.
Nah, like, or even if my knee has some kind of issue, I'm like, yo, I got to be able to run with my kids when I'm done or my hip or something. But if it's like shoulder or something like that, like shoot me up, I'm good.
Cortisone shot. Yeah, I think it's always crazy. I mean, this is, I've heard people like popping dislocated fingers back. And I've actually seen that at the park. Like a guy will get like a dislocated finger, like playing basketball and he just kind of pops it back into place. But multiple torn ligaments is crazy.
That is crazy. Like, you're like, hitting it too many times.
It's like almost like your finger's like hanging off. I'm like, that's insane to be able to just be like, you know what? My finger is dislocated and it's torn in multiple places, but screw it. I'm going to pop this sucker back into place.
That might be outside my threshold of like my little tolerance.
Can you imagine the pain that he was probably, like, I guess your adrenaline kicks in and you're just like,
adrenaline in there, shoot it up. But still, that next Monday or Tuesday, nah. That's a different type of pain.
That's crazy. Listen, well, like I said, TJ Watt is in contention for DPOY. I think a lot of people, you know, already have him as a favorite to win the award, possibly. It's still too early in the season, but I mean, nobody defensively, I think, is playing better football than TJ Watt right now.
I mean,
he is just absolutely insane, unreal. We have this conversation all the time, too. I mean, the Watt brothers, but when we speak about JJ, you know, we're always having this conversation about him and Aaron Donald, and Brandon and I actually got into this conversation on the show. JJ Watt has a couple of more healthy years and unhealthy years in his career. You could be putting him ahead of Aaron Donald.
Of course.
I think people forget how dominant JJ Watt was. JJ Watt was the Houston defense. Like,
as
it was
humans,
JJ Watt.
As humans, it's always, what have you done for me lately?
Right. Sports.
So those last couple years, it kind of put not a sour taste in people's mouth, but they forget how great he was.
Right.
Just because, like you said, he had them unhealthy years where he played a couple games or he went on the field unhealthy. He wasn't as dominant, but prime JJ Watt?
Right.
Yeah, he was a problem. He was a problem.
I would be interested, you know, let's take it to the chat. I mean, right now, let's go ahead and say in a perfect scenario, you get two healthy players, right? No injuries. This is and JJ Watt more specifically, because Aaron Donald had a pretty healthy career. Are you taking JJ Watt completely healthy or Aaron Donald completely healthy at their prime?
Ooh,
I want to see what the chat sees, what
one.
The chat says. So go ahead and put your answer in the chat. Are you taking JJ Watt completely healthy at his prime or Aaron Donald completely healthy at his prime? I'm interested to see what the chat says there. So we'll wait for those answers to come in. Who are you taking?
I'm going to take, that's tough. I'm going to go with Aaron Donald.
I'm going to
go with Aaron Donald. I think I'm that human where it's because he's still doing it.
I'm the person
I was talking about. I'm going to let you know. Just because he has been healthy. I know you said just everybody's been healthy, but just because he's still fresh in my mind and he's just done it recently
and he's
still doing it, that's the only reason I'm taking
it. We have some interesting, we have JJ, Chrissy O says JJ. Some people said Aaron Donald. We got a multiple JJ easily, JJ Watt in his prime, JJ all day, JJ Watt. I mean, someone said Aaron Donald just barely, though. JJ Watt. We got a lot of JJ Watts here. JJ Watt can play every position on the line.
Aaron Donald can also.
I mean, someone said, give me JJ. JJ had the God-given ability to consistently pick the ball and ball down at the line of scrimmage. I mean, someone says, personally, I've seen more from JJ than Aaron. That's an interesting take. JJ Watt had multiple pick six. Aaron Donald's the only one with a ring. I mean, points were made.
Yeah, you kind of can't be wrong.
Points were made. I was just curious to see what the chat was feeling. So, all right, we're going to go ahead and dive into the past a little bit because in the Panthers' defense, hindsight is 2020. Now, a video for March is going viral again on social media. It shows Charlotte Panthers quarterback coach Josh McCown meeting with CJ Stroud. I always say Stroud. That's a New York in me. CJ Stroud after his pro day at Ohio State, complimenting his spin on the football. But then it gets better. The two proceed to schedule a game of horse, and McCown allegedly tells the young quarterback, quote, "Maybe when you live in Charlotte, we'll find a court." Listen to this.
It's going well, bro. That was great.
I'll be there, I think, the 17th after.
Let's see.
Thank you guys for coming, man. It's a lot. So, appreciate you.
See ya. We'll find a court. Play some horses.
It's right here. Come on.
Okay.
Well, no, maybe I got to do a little meeting. We'll find a court. See you, buddy. Now I'm going to take his money.
Sounds like he said it to me. Did you hear it? I heard it. I mean, now we now know, CJ is the best rookie quarterback in the NFL draft class this year. I feel like that's universal. Best rookie quarterback in the NFL. And there are actually rumors that Panthers owner, David Tepper, stepped over his coaches to force Bryce Young to be the first overall pick in the 2023 draft. So as you can see, Josh McCown was high on CJ. David Tepper said, I want Bryce Young. Hindsight is 2020. Do you think he's kicking himself right now? Not that Bryce Young is a scrub, but CJ is the best quarterback in the NFL as a rookie right now.
I don't think he's kicking himself because if you look at the guy they drafted into Carolina.
Bryce Young.
Mm-hmm. He killed college football. Like, he didn't have one bad game. He's coming from Alabama. He's coming from a tree from Tua, Jalen Hurts. And these guys were successful in the NFL. So you're going off, like, this is what they produce as quarterbacks. Ohio State didn't have, their former quarterbacks didn't have as much success as Alabama quarterbacks recently
but
in the
NFL. But film-wise, I mean, true.
One film
if
wasn't
looking,
better than
at,
other.
You don't feel like CJ even.
Bryce Young?
Don't get me wrong. Bryce Young was fantastic. But I mean, if we're looking at also the, not just the film, if we're looking at the intangible, CJ's bigger.
He's bigger.
He's more NFL quarterback stature. I feel like his athleticism might be a little bit more NFL ready than Bryce Young was coming out of college. I think Bryce Young is phenomenal. I don't think that, especially in, I think Bryce Young in college was phenomenal. This is not a knock to him. I'm just saying CJ was always, for me, NFL ready. Bryce Young was going to be a project.
I don't think Bryce Young would have, like, is a project or would be a project because maybe 5-6 years ago, but they don't go by prototypical, you know, he has to be 6'4". He has to stand tall in a pocket. Like,
you don't want a tall quarterback?
If you can
not
ball,
knocking
you can
that,
ball.
I'm not saying that he. I'm not trying to short joke it, but like you don't want to talk. That
Mahomes
was a knock against.
Mahomes isn't tall. Lamar Jackson isn't tall.
Is it Mahomes 6'1", 6'2"?
That's not tall for a quarterback.
That's taller than 5'10".
Yeah, he's hitting like the limit,
like
of how
Russell
short
Wilson
you can
height.
Go. Yeah, but Russell was also productive.
Russell Wilson though is a freak of nature, and so like Russell.
That's
Will-
what Bryce Young showed in college.
Okay.
In college, to me, I never seen a bad game from Bryce Young. Even when it was down 14, and you're like, yo, Alabama about to take a L. He'll just be calm. He's a leader. And he roared him back. And he played at a high level every game.
I mean, it has been reported, though. We spoke about this. You know, ESPN did a report. And maybe project wasn't the right word. What I mean by project is that not Bryce Young specifically was going to be a project, but being able to utilize him in the NFL capacity was going to be a project because you're going to have to figure out a way to do it because, like I said, he's not, you know, the typical build of an NFL quarterback, at least what you want your typical NFL quarterback to look like. And we had the report that came out that they can't run a quarterback sneak or the quarterback sneak is not necessarily in their playbook because Bryce Young is too small, allegedly, to run it. Also, there have been multiple reports that he has a hard time seeing over his offensive line. So that was all stuff that, like, film or no film, you could have, like, gauged that from him in college.
But with that, you got to trust your coaching staff to be like, he's accurate. He can get the ball there, get him out the
pocket.
He does
have a great arm.
Yeah, and it's just like, use his weapons and use what he does well. Like, he never wanted to sit in the pocket. He always likes to move out of the pocket. So you have to do what your quarterback does well to benefit him. Like, that's why Purdy's so successful in San Francisco. It's just
different system, but also
if Bryce Young went to that system, he'll do the same thing Purdy's
doing. For sure. So, I think also Panthers have a terrible offensive line, which is not helping Bryce Young in any capacity.
Yeah.
So this is not a Bryce Young thing. I think Bryce Young has just an immense amount of talent. I just think that the situation for him, but then some people will say CJ went to the Texans.
Yeah.
The Texans are not a good football team, but that has not stopped CJ from flourishing as an individual, as a quarterback.
They have weapons that help him, though. They have a great running game. They have a young receiver core. Like, the O-line isn't bad. So, it fits him a little bit more.
Do you think he has better coaching than Bryce does? Because I don't think that they have bad coaching in Carolina.
Yeah, I don't think either have bad coaching. Like, I think they both have decent coaching. They got good coaching. But everybody just go to different situations, right? This is Bryce's situation right now where the O-line has to get better. They have to get more weapons around him on the ice outside.
Do you say that Houston has a good offensive line?
They okay. They decent. Like, he's making them look maybe better than
what
they are.
But here's my point. I'm playing devil's advocate here. Like, I'm not anti-Bryce Young. I actually, I don't even watch Bama football, and I was watching for him. So, some people will say, well, look, they both kind of have mediocre offensive lines, but CJ is still finding a way to win, and doesn't that speak more to the capabilities as a quarterback that you would want, a quarterback who can win in the interim of disaster, if you will, like finding ways to win in spite of what they have around them.
I agree. So CJ's a plug and play guy, right? Whatever system you can put him in, whether it's pro style, stand up in the pocket, go through all your reads, he can take a hit if he has to hold on to the ball, like that is him. But I don't think anyone should come on a Panthers owner where it's like CJ was the clear cut better quarterback, right? You could have went either way.
It was a lot of back and forth, a lot of mock drafts that had them going back and forth.
Yeah, you couldn't have been wrong. That's the only thing that I'm saying here. It's like it was no clear cut favorite. So you couldn't miss either way you go.
We have a good question from the chat though for you, B-Flow. Who has the better team?
I think the Texans are a better team.
Really?
I think the Texans are a better team. And they have a guy in D'Amico Ryans who's a great motivator as a coach. Some like Pete Carroll.
I think they have a better defense in Houston for sure.
You think Carolina has a better
defense? No, Houston has a better defense.
So when you have a better defense, they're going to get you the ball back. You have a coach that's, hey, you do your thing. He's been a player. So he's going to be – he know how to motivate you. The thing about being a head coach is who can motivate their guys the best, right? And you can just see CJ is just – it's no pressure on him. That's why he ain't throw a pick yet. It's just he feels like everybody believes in me. Everybody trusts. It's no pressure. It's no pressure to win. Like, nobody was expecting Houston to come and do their thing this year.
I think you do make a point. I do think Houston, I mean, if you look at, they have a better defense. They have a better offensive line. Not phenomenal, but way better than Carolina. And like you said, meaning CJ, has more offensive weapons at his disposal than Bryce does. So for all intents and purposes, it is the better team. It's the Texans, so people dismiss it. But if we're comparing the two, the Texans have the better team. Somebody said that CJ was always the better option, but he got knocked because he came from Ohio State. Do you agree with that?
So the NFL is they love to go with trends, right?
And like I said, the SEC, baby.
They love to go with trends. So like I said, the last couple of quarterbacks that came from Ohio State, they didn't pan out. Even though they got drafted high, wherever they got drafted, they haven't became starters and produced in the NFL.
Unless it's Ezekiel Elliott.
I'm just talking about quarterbacks.
Oh, there's quarterbacks?
Just quarterbacks, okay. Yeah. But like I mentioned, Alabama, like their quarterbacks was – and like Jalen was just playing ball. Tua was playing ball before he got hurt when they seen that the previous year.
Right.
And they just felt like Mac Jones, whatever was going on in New England, that wasn't on Mac Jones. So they was like, we see the recipe of quarterbacks coming from Alabama being successful. So – yeah. I mean, that's why I think GMs and owners do make the calls that they do. It's a copycat league.
Copycat league. Well, listen, hindsight is 2020, so I don't know. I don't know if David Tepper is like, God dang it, I should have just let the coaches do their job. Maybe, maybe not. We will never know. We're going to go ahead and talk a little Deion Sanders. Now, Deion Sanders delivers mile-high social media numbers. This is incredible. Check this out. So, Colorado Buffalo's football their Instagram account has surpassed 1 million followers. Now, they joined just LSU, Alabama, and Ohio State, who all have a million plus. But the real fascinating number here is that they only had 58,000 before Deion Sanders was hired. This is a big deal. This is a Pac-12 program for now that only had 58,000 followers, that only had one win the last season. Now they're up there in notoriety with LSU, Bama, and Ohio State, which are three of the best programs in college football. I mean, you can say a lot about Deion Sanders, but what he is doing for college football, specifically this program, I mean, you can't ignore it. You can't knock it. I know people are trying to hate on it. The numbers don't lie. Men lie, women lie, numbers don't lie. That's insane.
That's who he is. I mean, from when he was a player to everybody wondering what, number 21.
Right.
From when he had the video game, when he wore all the chains. And even when he went to Jackson State, like, nobody paid attention to HBCU football as much as they did when he went to Jackson State. And then everybody was, like, tuned into Jackson State, the team. I took my daughter to the game when they played Florida A&M last year when Deion was there in Miami. And
oh, really?
We sat by the band and we was rocking. I started following their band and everything. It's just like, that's what Prime does right. for your program. Like, he's a guy that he has an infectious personality.
Right.
Like, he's.
But I think it's even more impressive. I mean, you can like Deion, and many of us do. Like, obviously, Cowboys fans love Deion. You can like Deion and not give a damn about Colorado football. But it's fascinating to me how his personality is so infectious and people rock with him so hard that people who, A, weren't watching college football, never cared about college football, are so invested into what Colorado is doing and if they're winning, how they're performing, that they're watching games on Saturday that they never use. Like, for example, my dad is one of my dad hates college football. He thinks it's dumb. He hates the rules. He thinks it doesn't prepare guys for the NFL. He thinks, you know, the overtime rules are stupid. Like, he is not a college football fan. He was watching the game against Colorado State with me up until 2:30 in the morning. That's unheard of. This man does not care about college football. That's a Deion. That's more that's than just Deion. Liking Deion Sanders. To get people to actually care about what you're doing with a program that people were not checking for, I think is absolutely amazing.
But not even on the football field. Do you know how many like applications going to be filled out for just the school?
Yes.
Are people trying to just enjoy this experience? Like, it's not going to be just people in the Midwest. Everybody from the West Coast. Everybody's going to be trying to get be part of this experience to have your favorite rapper, your favorite actor, your favorite NBA player on campus and just vibing out like it's a concert every weekend. Like, it's going to be insane what he's done to Colorado. And we'll see how long he will be there because it's going to be a lot of teams calling for Deion in the next couple of years.
Well, let me ask you this because I feel like, you know, I've had this conversation with a few different people, you know, a lot of them being athletes. And it's been interesting to see how people, the different responses. And some people are like pro Deion and every like Deion, regardless, win, lose, whatever. And then there are people who are like, yeah, what Deion's doing is great. The swagger is great. You know, the sound bites are great. The social media account is fantastic. Like, he's really in his bag in that regard. But all the glitz and the glamour will only last so long until the wins start coming. And obviously they won against Arizona State last Saturday. They lost the two against USC and Oregon, which I think a lot of people expected. I don't know anybody who thought this team was going to go undefeated. But do you think that there is – Deion has to continue to win in order for people to – I guess, believe in his benefit in college, in his being beneficial in college football. And this is just me playing devil's advocate. I think that Deion never promised a championship right away. He never promised a Cinderella season right away. He never promised a perfect season right away. It's a process. It takes a couple of seasons to get going. I think next season this team's going to be even better. But, I mean, where do you stand on this in terms of, you know, Deion and having to produce wins in order to keep talking how he normally talks?
So I always said if Deion just wins 6 games this year, that's a hell of a job. He should be coach of the year because I understand football. I understand you depleting the whole program. You're getting all these transfers in to get them on the same page, a whole new scheme, and you just doing this in a spring, mm-hmm. right? So it's tough. I was like, if Deion can win 6 games, like, that's a hell of a job. And Deion is honest. He'll tell you, we ain't there yet. I still need, like, 8 more dogs. He keeps saying that. I need 8 more dogs to be able to compete. And right. that's going to come within the next 1 or 2 years, you know. And the thing is, about all the glitz and glamour.
It's who people, he is. It's always who he's been.
That's who he's been. Right. And people will say, if he's not winning, it's a distraction. Mm-hmm. But when has Deion not won? Like, he's just that guy. It's just some people in life and what they do, they just continue to win over and over. So he got a track record right. of always winning. So right. I always just count on Deion now. It's like, he going to always figure it out. He going to always win. So I don't expect Deion to lose and somebody come in and say, oh, that's a distraction. You got the rappers in the locker room. You got a DJ in the locker room. Right. It's too much. It's like, nah. Like,
it's interesting because I feel like people, like, knock the way that he's been moving with this Colorado team as if this is not what he was doing at Jackson State, as if this is not what he was doing in his career. This is who he is. Like, had he come into Colorado and been Nick Saban, everyone would have been like, what the hell? He's a sellout. Yeah. You know what I mean? But now that he's not doing that, he's being authentic to himself, and people still have a problem with it. I'm just so confused. Like, do you want him to lead this program the Deion way, which is the authentic, transparent, dynamic, larger-than-life way, and go through the trials and tribulations of a season? Like, some games you win, some games you lose. I don't know anybody in their right mind who watches college football, who even understands college football, who thought that this team was going to beat Oregon.
But it's just changed.
It's Oregon. Like, what are we talking about? Yeah, like,
without their best player on offense right. and defense in Travis Hunter. But it's just, it's changed. Whenever change comes, you're going to have a lot of people that they're haters. Not willing to accept it, or it's going to take them a while to accept it. So when all this went on at Jackson State, they like, this is what they do. The band be rocking, everybody rowdy. Right. Like, this is what they do. But when you bring it to Power 5 and they never seen it before, a lot of people was just going to say, is this allowed? Like, should they be doing this? Wait, this is a cheat code, because a lot of other coaches, they don't have that swag that Deion have, and they can't do that. So it's just changed, and it's here now, and it's going to be more and more of this in the future, because a lot of teams going to see,
yeah,
like, this is where the recruits are going.
Not only that, but you made a good point. Like, college football has drastically changed with NIL.
Yeah.
And people want to go to programs. It's not just about Bama. It's not just about LSU. Like, what he's doing for Colorado will get, you know, high prospects wanting to play for this football program, because now it's a different level of notoriety. It's a different level of opportunity, not just on the field, but off the field. And that's something that only a few programs have ever really been able to provide. That's why you see them getting the big deals. That's why you see them going high in the draft, because all eyes have always been on them. You're talking about the Georgias and the LSUs and the Bamas and the Clemsons at one time. And now you have a school that nobody was checking for, that has a black swag, black culture to it. And now some kid may not have to go to Bama. Maybe yeah. he's not able to go to Bama, but maybe he has what Deion's looking for, and he can go there and still have a very successful collegiate and hopefully pro career. I think this is fantastic for college football.
And he's doing it the right way. If you're a parent, you know Deion's going to teach your child how to be a man.
That too.
Right? He's going to teach him discipline. It's not all about we're going to be reckless and we ain't going to be right. getting our grades. It's like, he has 2 highly touted 5-star freshmen who hasn't been playing all year because, like, I don't like the way they prepare.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they need to learn how to prepare and do the stuff away from the field to be able to get on my field. Like, that shows discipline. Like, I know their parents probably initially was like, yo, my son came here to play. But they're going to, later on down the line, they go see, like, no, he established discipline in my child. And it's, like, teaching him how to be a man. Even with Travis Hunter. Now other schools around the nation are going to be forced to a lot of these guys that play both ways and yeah. say, yo, I want to go to your team and I want to start at receiver and cornerback. And if they say no, it's like, hey, I can go somewhere that's going to let me do that. So Deion always says to Travis Hunter, like, you changing college history. Like,
not only that, but I also think that, I mean, and you can speak to this more, but one thing that I always, like, when I've had conversations about the lack of black head coaches in college and also in the NFL, I say it's bigger than just, you know, evening the playing field from a hiring standpoint. You're talking about leagues, at least in the NBA and the NFL. I don't know the numbers off the top of my head in college, but I would guess they're probably about the same. You're talking about leagues that have predominantly black athletes.
Mm-hmm.
And having a black coach, head coach, having black coaches, especially when you're a young man, or just a young person in general, let's not just make it about a male or male thing. It could be female coaches as well. You relate to them in a different way. You know, especially in those developmental years where you're transitioning from being a teenager to a young adult, having that mentorship and having that relatability and having somebody who maybe came from the same struggle you came from, or culturally understands things that, you know, you deal with or that you're interested in, that no knock that a Nick Saban could never understand. That's not his life. And that doesn't mean that Nick Saban is not a fantastic coach. It doesn't mean that Nick Saban has a difficult time relating to his guys, because his players speak very highly of him. But it's different. And I think that people are ignoring that when you have young men, young black men on your football team, having a black coach is a different level of influence. And it's something that is going to change these young men's lives, whether they go professional or not. Having that father figure, you know, uncle figure, whatever the case may be in your life at this stage in the game is so, like, important.
Yeah, they have to be able to relate to you, and you have to be able to relate to them, but they have to go a step further, right? A lot of coaches come to these, I'll say hoods, right? These mm-hmm. inner cities, mm-hmm. and they know where they're getting these kids from. Mm-hmm. Like, yo, some of them from the projects, some of them lived a certain way. Like, you seen the environment you came mm-hmm. and got them from.
When you sit them on the couch.
And yeah. Like, yeah. Mm-hmm. And when they get to your college campus, you expect a light switch to hit. And when they act out, or when they get depressed, or they act a certain way, you look at them like,
right,
why are you acting this way? Like, nah, we don't do that here. And like, they just kind of push you away and try to let you figure out on your own when right. these are kids. Like, a lot of kids need someone to put their arm around them. How Prime doing is like, listen, I know where you're from.
Mm-hmm.
Like, listen, let's go make everybody where you're from happy. Let's make them proud. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm still going to establish discipline in you.
Right, right.
But I'm going to give you more grace. And I'm not going to write you off as like, ah, you're a bad seed, or you're not going to ever get it. Or if you are failing your first two semesters, I'm not going to get on you as like, you're not going to get it. You're going to be academically right. ineligible. Like, I'm going to help you because you might not have had this structure. You might have never had study hall before. Mm-hmm. So he just goes the extra mile, and he surrounds people, coaches on his staff, to go the extra mile for his players.
Yeah.
And that's what we need as college athletes.
Listen, Dion, we're behind you.
100%.
Right. The culture is behind you, Dion. You ain't never going to falter. Listen. Well, speaking of NILs and college, Caitlin Clark is your new neighbor, because like a good neighbor, Caitlin Clark is there. I need a little beat. Whatever. Listen, State Farm has signed Iowa women's basketball star, not WNBA yet, but she will be, Caitlin Clark, to his athlete roster. Now, this is a big deal because Caitlin is the first collegiate athlete to join their roster, which includes Patrick Mahomes, Chris Paul. We've seen Travis Kelce in some ads. Here she is with Jake from State Farm. And she said she's honored to be joining as the first college athlete to the State Farm team. And when asked about, you know, why she joined State Farm, she said, a team that looks out for others with exactly the kind of legacy I want to leave behind on the court. I'm honored to be the first college athlete to join to growing the women's game together. Now, this is part of State Farm's initiative to further advance the game of women's basketball. This is fantastic. I mean, this is also a big deal. State Farm is huge.
Yeah.
I mean, Chris Paul, Cliff Paul, those commercials are like mm-hmm. famous. I remember watching those like for I don't know how many NBA seasons that you would see them. But this is crazy to be a college athlete to have a deal with State Farm. I mean, times have drastically right. changed. Like, don't you wish you'd go back to college? Like, dang.
Nah, it's dope. And I love Caitlin Clark.
Me
right?
too. She's
I had,
a baller.
I had the pleasure of seeing her play in the Final Four last year because Virginia Tech girls made it. I went to go support those. They'll mm-hmm. be back. Virginia Tech will be back. I will be back, you know. But, man, to watch her play the game, the passion she had for the
She's
game.
Insane.
And I didn't know female athletes, basketball players talk so much trash on the, like, I didn't know. I thought
they,
like,
sometimes worse than the men.
Yeah, I was like, yeah. I had my hand on my mouth, like, yo, they really popping off. And like the way LSU was coming at her and she was popping off and getting to the cup, it's like, I love her as an athlete. Like, yeah. she had the whole arena on fire. Like, how Steph be hitting the deep jumpers and Steph start cooking and getting to the rim. She had the same effect.
She has very much crowd control. Steph, she has very much Steph qualities about her. And, you know, we were I think a lot of people were introduced to her during, you know, the situation with Angel Reese. But when we interviewed Angel Reese, you know, she speaks so highly, and to this day she speaks so highly of Caitlin Clark and vice versa. Like, they say, look, we hope to be teammates one day. Like,
she's this a good sport, too. This is like, there. I love Caitlin Clark.
Love watching them play against each other. Love watching them play individually. I'm just so proud of these young women and so excited for the future of women's basketball. I mean, the W just keeps getting better and better every year. If you're not watching WNBA, you are missing out. The Aces and the Liberty face each other, I believe, tomorrow. Or is it tonight? Let me go ahead and look that up. I want to say it's tonight.
It might be tonight.
Stand by. Let's go ahead and see. Oh, it is today at 9 p.m. So it's game two. Liberty, my New York Liberty, take on the Aces in Las Vegas. That game alone had, I believe, almost 800,000 viewers, which is crazy on an NFL Sunday. I mean, put that into perspective. The game was on a Sunday in the middle of the NFL prime slot. It was 3 o'clock game, so between the 1 and the 4:25 games. And almost a million people tuned in for 800,000, which was, I believe, one of their highest numbers to date. It's fantastic.
Why do you think they're getting so many viewers now? Do you think they have better athletes with everybody on the team nice as opposed to back in the days where it's like two on a team that literally can take over? Like, what
you know,
do you
what?
Think?
I think, honestly, that people are I think there's been so many people advocating for the WNBA more than before, whether it's in the media, whether it's former athletes, current athletes. And I think that when you hear guys, when you hear athletes, specifically male athletes that you're accustomed to, like, watching, you know, in the NBA and things like that, speak so highly of a game and speak so highly of the competition, mm-hmm. and you see them on social media supporting these women, you want to be like, all right, what is this about? Like, it's curiosity.
They gave them a chance.
It's just natural curiosity. So I'm happy that everybody or people are starting to watch, starting to learn that this is not – women's basketball, women's sports in general, is not a downgrade from male sports. It's not.
It's low-key more entertaining.
It's absolutely phenomenal basketball. These games are coming down to the wire. They're high competition. It's high-level trash talk. Yeah. And I'm just happy that people are now giving women's basketball the respect that it deserves. And I'm hoping it continues to grow when players like Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese start making their way into WNBA and taking that fan base, and that fan base follows them wherever they go. It's phenomenal basketball. It is. Like, it really is. And if you have daughters, take your daughters to see WNBA games.
They'll love it.
Like, even if you have boys, take your boys to see WNBA games. I remember speaking to Julius Randle, and he said that he took his son to Liberty games because he was like, girls can't play basketball. And he was like,
Nah, they'd be cooking.
Nah. And he said that he took his son, Kaiden, to a Liberty game. And Kaiden had so much fun. He was like, oh, my God, these girls are good. Yeah. Like, take your kids to see not just male basketball, but WNBA basketball as well. Not just NBA, but WNBA as well. So we're going to go ahead and do that. Let me pull this rundown up on my Andrew, can you come fix my iPad again? I don't know what happened. I don't know why this always happens to my thing. It, like, freezes. Please. Everybody, welcome Andrew to the show. He's going to go ahead and fix my iPad. This happened to me before. It, like, froze.
What's up, y'all?
And he had to, like, Google how to fix it. So in the interim, I'm going to go ahead and pull it up on Google Docs so we can intro the next thing that we're talking about. That's the glory and the strain of technology. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. All right, so Rich Paul calls out the Brotherhood. This is interesting. So this is going to be a cool conversation. while appearing on ESPN's First Take to promote his memoir, Lucky Me, a memoir of changing the odds, Rich Paul spoke about the lack of mentorship he received from other agents when he was first navigating through the sports business. He said, quote, "No black agents came to me and said, let me help you. Let me show you. Let me help you understand." Listen to this.
It's just a different time now. And the unfortunate thing is, I used to have a profound respect for those in my field. I've lost that respect for a lot of them. Very few that I have that respect for.
Because?
Just because of the lack of integrity, the lack of professionalism, and the way they do things. It's just something that when you read that book, you'll understand why I am the way I am. And it goes back to the situation that we had on Gil's thing. It wasn't me trying to be a certain way towards Stephen A. You know, I would never do that.
Right.
What it was about was I was raised in a community to where that energy we had to navigate through every day. It ain't about me being tough, because I'm for peace, right?
Same here.
But exactly, from right. Queens. And so I never bring that to anybody. And so when I look at today's landscape, I just don't see the polishing that I got in my community by anywhere, wherever I went,
in your
somebody
industry.
Was sharpening my knife.
You don't see that in your industry?
No, no, because nobody did it to me. No black agents came to me and said, Rich, let me help you, let me show you, let me help you understand. What they did was they went into families and talked bad about me. Oh, he's just a kid, he's just LeBron's friend, et cetera, et cetera. When LeBron's done, he's going to be done, et cetera, et cetera.
Right. I'm shocked to hear you say that, because
I didn't expect that.
I got you.
Well, that's the fact.
I got you. Okay.
There's no gray with me. There's black and white.
All right.
And so I definitely wasn't going to get it from the establishment. So, but I also grew up in a time where I didn't expect you to do nothing for me either. I didn't have that expectation, so it didn't hurt me at all. I was going to go no matter what, because that's how I was raised. But, yeah. But for me, I'm not going to do unto others what was done to me.
Right.
I pay it forward. So I'm giving the game away. In that book, I'm giving the game away to anybody that's aspiring to be whatever they want to be.
Well, listen, he went on to say that he didn't learn much of anything from the agencies that he, or the agency that he worked with, that they didn't teach him anything valuable, really. Listen to this.
You mentioned black agents. White agents did that to you too?
Well, one.
Whatever, I'm just saying.
Yeah, most of them, but right. I'll say this. When I started the business, the one thing you have to understand when you start a business is you have to know what you don't know. And I didn't learn from the previous agency that I worked with. I did learn from a guy named Mark Termini, who I hired to help me be belt and suspenders. And Mark didn't have a huge business, but what he had was he had an unbelievable professionalism and a detail. And I was able to add that to my game. I had a little bit of it already, but, you know, he's 50 plus years old. I'm 30.
Mark Termini's a good dude.
You know,
him
and his wife, Wendy, and they
really good guy.
And our time together, they helped. And so it's not about you doing it all yourself all the time. I was smart enough to understand that I needed to fill some holes, and I went and got some people that didn't want to be me, didn't want to, you know, stand in front of me. They wanted to stand alongside me and support me, and it was a great time, and we done great business together, so.
Jones had an interesting response to one of the clips from Rich Paul's appearance on First Take, and he said this. Let's talk about something called zero-sum game. So do you know what that is?
I don't know what it is.
Okay, so zero-sum game basically is in game theory in chess, where one person's loss is another person's gain or vice versa.
Uh-huh.
So he's basically saying in the agent game, had somebody helped Rich Paul, that would have been their loss. So their advantage would have been, Rich Paul's advantage would have been his loss, their loss, whoever the agent is, and vice versa. So that's what it is. In game theory, it's basically in order to get an advantage, you have to go ahead and make somebody else lose something. And that's how it equals out. So they say that the sum of wealth basically is zero because nobody's really winning. It's a wash. So... it's interesting, you know, because you would think, and I've experienced this in my career. I've spoken about this before. You know, I coming up would have loved to have a female mentor. You know, I say all the time in my career, the only people who have ever really mentored me and given me opportunities have been men. I've never had a woman, specifically a Black woman, sit me down and say, this is the game, this is what I had to deal with, this is how you can be better, this is, you know, the keys, this is what you should do, this is what you shouldn't do. I never had that. And I always wish that I did, because I feel like maybe it would have helped me. Thank you, Andrew. I think that maybe it would have helped me avoid certain things, avoid making certain mistakes. But I also, you know, as I've gotten older, I also understand that people's inability or unwillingness to help you is not necessarily because you're not worthy of it. I think a lot of people are scared to lose their position to what's coming up next. And not everybody believes in the ideology of like what's for you can't be taken from you. You know, people will say it because it sounds good, but a lot of people don't actually believe that. So that's something that I realized, but I also am somebody who, like Rich Paul, decided to do things differently when I got into a certain position. You know, I've been at multiple events and you know, young girls will come up to me and say, you know, can I ask you a question? And I'm never somebody who's like, no, I'm like, yeah, like, because I wish somebody would have done that for me.
Yeah.
And it wasn't from lack of trying. Like, I remember reaching out to several people, you know, just trying to ask for advice and sending emails and DMs and not getting a response. And, you know, it makes you, especially when you're young, it takes a toll kind of on your self-esteem and your psyche, because you wonder, like, why not me? Especially when you see other people have female mentors or other people have mentors of people that you wish would have taken you under their wing. It kind of makes you feel like, well, what, like, why am I, like, why don't you want to help me? Like, what's wrong with me? So in that regard, I hear it. But I also understand the competitive nature of the industry that he's in. You know, he's a young buck coming in. He has LeBron James on his side. And even back then, when LeBron was not LeBron James that we now know he became, he was LeBron James, a chosen one. Like, it was always, he always had a trump card in his back pocket. You know what I mean?
I like the fact that he brought awareness to this, because no one would have ever known that Rich Paul had to go through this, right? Mm-hmm. People would have thought, since he got the tag from LeBron, everybody would have been looking to help him. And like, if you need anything, because they felt like they'll have some kind of relationship with the chosen one, LeBron, you know. Mm-hmm. But I'm a big advocate of everything happens for a reason, right? We all would love mentors or mentees. Like, to, like you said, prevent all the little pitfalls and like everything they did 15, 20 years ago. Like, let me speed up my process to get where I need to go.
Not even just speed it up. Like, just
you don't have to deal with the,
not struggle as much as maybe you had to, maybe in like only 50% of the way. You know what I mean?
But you can't question God's plan at the end of the day, right? Because they did that to you. You know how many people you're going to touch, how many females in your industry that's going to come up. And like you said, girls that talk to you after the show, that's going to come up to you. You go make sure you go out of your way to make sure you help so many more people. Not saying you wouldn't have been the same way if someone would have helped you and showed you the ropes.
Right.
Like, you don't know. It could have molded you into a person like, I do have to go. I got to go catch this flight. Or I do have to go do this, right? And not felt bad about it, because you'd have felt privileged. Like,
yeah.
But the fact that you had to grind through, like, you don't know how many people you're going to touch and how many females in your industry go say, hey, Ashley Nicole Moss, like, she helped me out. She was the one that helped me propel forward, because one little conversation with her and it's just going to spread like wildfire.
Yeah.
So like we said, like, what's for you can't be taken away. It just might be a navigation system to how you're going to get there. But you go help so many people along the way. When you get there, it's fall in love with
this is facts. And I think that for me, like, you know, I use this analogy a lot. Like, whenever I do like panel discussions and a question like this comes up, you know, I relate it to this. Like, for me, you know, I equate it to holding a door open, right? So like, holding a door open, yes, it's polite, right? But the deeper meaning for me, the deeper meaning that I've always kind of gotten from it is, the ideology that it's making the destination to the same or similar place just a little bit easier, because now you don't have to open the door because it was held open for you. It's not saying I'm going to guide you to your to your destination. I'm just going to make it a little bit easier for you than it was for me. And I kind of feel like, you know, and this may be getting too deep, but the way that I view our time here on this planet is simply like not just to benefit ourselves, but to benefit other people, whether that's one person, whether that's several people, whether that's millions of people. And I think it's very selfish to utilize your time to just benefit you and your wants and your desires. And I've always wanted to obviously grow my career and be successful in my career, but I also feel like I didn't have a successful career if the girls that come after me had to struggle as much as I did to get to my position and to continue to grow in this industry. And I think that a lot of people don't think like that, or they think like that in theory, but they don't apply the action. And I think that it's unfortunate too, because we see that in certain demographics and others. I think that when it comes to white people in business, for example, they're not afraid to put their homies on. Yeah. Like you see cousins and brother-in-laws and you know, sisters of cousins, and being in so many different positions to break bread and be successful. And I feel like because minorities tend to come from inner cities and neighborhoods that it's dog eat dog, and if you don't grind, you don't eat, that you take that when you reach a level of success, you still have that mentality. And it's like, I can't put you on because that's food off my table. Yeah. And I feel like when you get to a certain position, you have to change that ideology. Like, the community can't grow if we're all holding on to the keys and we're all holding on to the secrets. We're always going to be at a disadvantage if that's the ideology we move with.
And it happens in every profession, right? So when you're a rookie coming in, every veteran, they don't want to help you because they feel like, listen, if you ball and you take my spot, I'm going to be on the streets and I can't feed my family. Whereas instead of thinking that way, it's just going to be like, we all go ball. Even if you got to go to another team, you still balling. You go get your deal on another team. So, man, so many even athletes deal with that. I mean, it's been times on the field where you'll see guys ask guys for the coverage and they act like they don't hear them just because it's like, I'm not finna help you out. And then you'll get a contract before I get a contract. So I think, like you said, in all, especially our race, like we have to do better,
right?
You know, with just helping your brother or your sister. And it's not gonna take food off your table. Like you said, what's for you is gonna be for you. And just putting that good energy into the universe, like it has to come back to you.
Transactional,
yeah, it has to come back to you.
I understand, like, we had this conversation about the rookies and the vets, and I understand when you are a vet that's still actively playing and you're wide receiver one and you got a wide receiver, a young guy coming in from Ohio State, maybe you're a little bit like, I'm gonna give you some, I'm not gonna give you all the sauce because I'm still playing. But when we're talking about, like, say, a Big Ben being so dismissive of Kenny Pickett. And that to me is gross because you're on your way out.
Yeah. Like you know your chapter's done.
Like this chapter of your career is over. So you helping the next guy is not taking anything away from you. Like this is over for you. I understand more of being a little bit more selective about what you give away when you're still grinding in it, when you're still like somewhat even with the person that's coming in. But when you get to a position where you are so far past them, and they're just at zero and you're already at 100, you helping them is not going to make them jump to 100. It's just going to make them maybe jump to 10. Maybe they don't got to go through 1 through 9. Like, that has always been so weird to me, that when you are in a position where you can help, not when you're still trying to figure out your own stuff, because that I get. Like, I was like that, like, earlier in my career when I was still trying to figure it out, and it looked from the outside looking in or the inside looking out, whatever the case is, that I had it like all figured out, but I really didn't. People would ask me, hey, you know, can you, I'm not there yet, but one day, like, I'm not there yet. Now that I'm in a different position, I can start doing that a little bit more. And there's nothing wrong with that, but not doing it at all, I just feel like is, you can't grow. Like, we can't grow. Yeah. We can't better ourselves like that.
And at the end of the day, it's two types of people when it comes to this. It's nobody helped me, so I'm not helping anybody.
That's one.
And it's nobody helped me, and because of that, I know how I feel. I'm helping everyone.
Right.
So it's all about how you see it through your lens. And hopefully, you know, everybody pivots to that second one. Where right. it's like, even if somebody didn't help me, I know how it feel, and I'm going to let everybody know the game.
And like you said, it doesn't stop anything, because didn't that happen with, what was it? Didn't Aaron Rodgers, not somebody in the chat just said it, remind me, King Cook said, Brett Favre didn't want to help Aaron Rodgers, and look what happened. Yeah. Didn't stop anything, Brett Favre. You should have helped him. It would have been a better story.
Exactly.
He still took your job, my guy.
Exactly.
He's still going into the Hall of Fame. It didn't stop anything. You just look like a hater now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate, but luckily, you know, Rich Paul's doing things differently. He's one of those people who are like, you know what? Yeah, nobody helps me, but I'm going to do it.
I'm going to get it.
I'm going to get it. I'm going to do it differently. Means. So I love that, you know, not allowing, I guess, the negativity and the ugliness of other mm-hmm. people. You know, my mom has this saying. She says, don't let other people define who you are.
Yeah.
And if you are somebody who, you know, is a good person and you want to help people, and don't let people not doing that for you change your heart, change how you move. I think everything, you know, energy is transactional. Everything comes back full circle.
Smart woman.
Everything comes back full circle. So my mom thinks I don't listen to her, but I listen to that. So there we go. Listen, speaking of, it is almost 12 o'clock. So that means the winner for the Pepsi Zero Rookie of the Week is coming. So we're going to go ahead and recap our nominees for week 5 with our segment, Yo, Rookie. All right, all right, all right. So let's take a look at the Pepsi Zero Sugar NFL Rookie of the Week nominees for week 5. Now, voting has closed, and we are going to find out the winner in the next few minutes. But just reminding you of the nominees. Number 1, we have Bryce Young, quarterback from the Carolina Panthers. 25 of 41 attempts for 247 yards and 3 touchdowns in week 5. We have Miami running back Devon Achane recorded 165 scrimmage yards and scored 1 rushing touchdown in the Dolphins' Week 5 win. Dolphins are definitely going to go ahead and miss him. He's going to be missing a few games, as we now know. We have Denver running back Jaleel McLaughlin recorded 89 scrimmage yards and scored 1 receiving touchdown in Week 5. We have Philadelphia defensive tackle Jalen Carter recorded 4 tackles, 2 sacks, and 2 tackles for a loss in the Eagles' Week 5 win. We have Chicago defensive back Terrell Smith. He recorded 6 tackles, 1 forced fumble, Smitty. And 1 fumble recovery in the Bears' Week 5 win. And lastly, we have Indianapolis Colts wide receiver Josh Downs caught 6 passes for 97 yards in the Colts Week 5 win. Now, yesterday we had, you know, double the trouble, and we had the opportunity to speak to both rookies, Terrell Smith and Josh Downs, about being nominated. So check this out in case you missed it. I'm just going to do this until we get it up there. Do we have it? Do we have it? Do we have it? Do you want me to recite it like a monologue? No? We don't have a video. Okay, that's fine. No video. But yesterday we did get a chance to talk to rookie, like I said, Terrell Smith and Josh Downs about being nominated. I mean, B-Flo, what'd you take away from those rooks?
Man, I like the determination they had, right? And when you ask them that question, the same question, my rookie year will be what?
Successful. Wasn't
it's
that
insane
crazy?
They had the same answer. Like, I mean, it just shows like how much they put into it. They really care about the game.
Right.
And I just love to see young boys out there making plays.
I think it's just so impressive. Each and every year, I feel like these rookies are more and more mature.
Yeah.
I feel like they, I don't know. I just feel like maybe it's just the culture of football and, you know, all the things of social media and the advancements in like science and training and nutrition and all that stuff. But they are more prime for the NFL each and every year and just more like composed and, you know.
That's a good point you brought up. Like, is it because of social media they're more mature? Because we didn't have social media and we was wild open as rookies. Nobody would ever know or can talk about what we did. So that's crazy. I never thought about that.
Yeah, listen. Well, last week, week 4, The winner of that Rookie of the Week was Puka Nacua. Listen, he has been balling.
Yeah.
We had Puka on the show. Such a nice guy. So soft-spoken, well-spoken. Just very good in energy. They get Cooper Rush back. Not Cooper Rush. Cooper Kupp. Cooper Rush. I have the Dallas Cowboys on my head. They get Cooper Kupp back. The two of them together, I mean, come
on. They'll be ready to go.
Yeah. Are you just impressed by how – I mean, this is a guy that – I don't think a lot of people had him on their radar.
At all. And I also like the clip with his girlfriend, wife, when he scored his touchdown, mm-hmm. how insane she went. Man, you're just happy for this guy because you can tell, like you said, how you talk to him. He a guy that puts in the work, yeah. right? He don't expect nothing. He only expects what he put in that he's going to get out. So, hey, y'all got him in a couple weeks now, so you better hope he ain't getting too out there.
Yeah, I know. All right, listen. Thank you for that reminder. Appreciate that. Well, listen. That has been the Pepsi Zero Sugar NFL Rookie of the Week. And this has been Yo Rookie. All right, we are going to dive back into NFL football. Not rookie speaking. This is more vet talk. But a mile-high clean sweep may be on the way. Now, for the past few days, rumors have been swirling that several NFL teams have called the Denver Broncos about trades for several players, including wide receiver Jerry Jeudy, left tackle Garrett Bowles, and safety Justin Simmons. Teams have also allegedly asked about wide receiver Cortland Sutton and pass rusher Frank Clark. Now, per NFL Network's James Palmer, players within the Broncos locker room believe a potential teardown is coming. Now, currently, Denver is 1-4, and they face the Kansas City Chiefs tomorrow. So, yeah.
That's it, yeah.
Now, yeah, that's not going to be a good game. Head coach Sean Payton disputed these rumors and said that the team is not, I repeat, not looking to trade their players at the deadline. Let's listen.
The trade deadline, what is the balance look like in terms of the time you spend with George, just evaluating the landscape and what could be out there for you?
Yeah, look, generally speaking, and I appreciate it's a good question. George and I talk every day, 3-4 times a day. We're not looking to do business with any of our players. That doesn't prevent teams from calling at times, you know. And so, you pick the phone up, but that's kind of where it's at. And, you know, we've got a good handle on this current roster and then our vision for the roster a year from now. And you know, that's the part about improving and getting better. But you know, until you just said it, I wouldn't have known it was 3 weeks away. I mean, 3 weeks seems like an eternity right now. So,
Coach
Sean. Sean.
We know how this goes.
I don't believe you, Sean. Now, listen, the NFL trade deadline is October 31st, Halloween. That is not a joke. That's real. At 4 p.m. So it's going to be trick or treat for some of these guys. But Sean, I don't believe you. There were some things there that definitely raised my eyebrows. He said, we're not looking, but if people are calling, we can't not pick up the phone. You could not pick up the phone, but you want to pick up the phone. I don't believe you.
But then say, I didn't hear anything about this until you brought it up.
Liar.
Like, hey, come on now, Sean.
But the phone, like, you didn't hear nothing about it, but the phone is ringing and you picking up the phone. I don't believe you, Sean. Sean Payton. I'm going to put this right here. Look, this is Sean Payton. I know it's a Dolphins hat, but it's big cap. Big cap, Sean. I don't believe you.
It's crazy that people are even talking about trying to rebuild this whole roster, right? Because before Russ came 2 years ago, they said this was one of the best rosters in the NFL. You just got to plug in a quarterback, mm-hmm. and they should be a contender for the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. So this quick, you want to go ahead and tear down this roster? Like, you can't. You have too many core pieces. You have too many key pieces. It's up to this head coach to figure this out. Because when you have the roster, What are they missing besides an O-line that they can shore up a little bit more? But every NFL team has a couple holes that they got to fill. It's like, nah, Mr. Payton, it's on you to get this team where they should be. When you start tearing down and trying to build through the draft, you create more and more holes. Now you're waiting for draft picks to come in and be who you thought they were going to be instead of just having a vet that can play ball in-house.
I mean, this is a team that had a top five defense not that long ago.
Yeah.
And they're not remotely even close to that anymore. So, I mean, I hear what you're saying, but let's call a spade. They're going to fall to 1-5 tomorrow. It would take a miracle 100%. For them to win that game.
100%.
So you're 1-5. Your season at that point is pretty much a wash. With all the other competition in the AFC, like, let's be honest, it's pretty much a wash.
Yeah. But it's tearing down a way to do this, though.
I mean, how else are you going to go ahead? And if he's saying that we have an idea what our roster is going to be in the next year, if it's this, you're going to lose again.
Okay, so.
So what's the alternative? You have to go ahead and start thinking about what pieces fit, what pieces can stay, what pieces got to go, and what better time to do that than in the middle of a season that's pretty much a wash for you. It's over. You're not winning. You're not going to the playoffs. It would take a miracle for you to be a wild card. Like, it's not going to happen.
My thing is, look at the guys they're talking about giving up. Justin Simmons is one of the best safeties, young safeties in the NFL.
You don't have to give up all these guys, but if people are calling about some of these, you got to start thinking like.
You can't give up Simmons because Kareem Jackson is in year 15, so he's on his way out. You can't let both of your safeties go.
Mm-hmm.
Like, those are your guys that keep the secondary together, so you got to keep Simmons. And then Judy, I mean, you talking about Judy and Sutton. Like, I mean, are you going to give one up or the other? I would keep Judy if you had to keep somebody, but Sutton ain't a scrub.
He's not. But I mean, if we're thinking about this, if we're looking at this, the team is not working. From a multiple of angles, it's not working. So if you start fielding phone calls and you start hearing what's out there and what you can get in return from certain guys, I mean, you have to start thinking about what pieces can fit into your roster, what pieces make sense into your roster. You can't keep everybody. It's not going to work. If you think that you're going to go into next season with a better offensive line, everything that you have, and think a miracle is going to happen, the team doesn't work. From a multiple of angles, it does not work. You need to figure out how and why it doesn't work and what you have to do to change it.
I just feel like they're so close. If you get
how do you figure they're so close? Because they're almost 1-5.
They still have a defense. They still have a defense. If they get one, maybe two offensive linemen in free agency, and then let's just say they get a Caleb Williams in the draft, you get some energy, you put him at quarterback.
Caleb Williams?
Yes.
You just paid Russell Wilson a bajookal amount of money.
Matter.
What are you going to do with him?
Yeah, you got to go.
Where is he going to go?
Nobody.
Who's picking up that
contract?
You're
going to have to mentor this young boy.
You think Russell Wilson's going to mentor Caleb Williams?
Well,
let's be for real, Brandon.
The way the season going this year, if you're a Broncos fan, not saying Russ is this or that, like, mm-hmm. if you're a fan, I'm just talking about fan, do you feel confident and hopeful going into next year if you finish the year with 4 or 5 wins and Russ still your quarterback? Fans don't care about money. Like, you have to get the fans on board. You got to get the guys in the locker room
on
board.
I'm going to be honest. I don't know. Russell Wilson is an enigma to me right now because I don't know. I don't know if it. I don't believe that what's going on in Denver right now is a Russell Wilson problem. I'm gonna be honest. I don't think it's all Russell Wilson. But on the same side of that conversation, I don't know what Russell Wilson is at this stage in the game because I haven't seen him in a functional football team. Only they know that. I only know the Russell Wilson of Seattle Seahawks. I can't tell you what version of Russell Wilson this is because I have not seen him in an environment that's conducive to really make that decision. Now, I will say he's lost a lot of the magic of Russell Wilson mm-hmm. from Seattle. I think that's fair. I think he's a tier 2 quarterback now. I no longer think he's a tier 1 mm-hmm. quarterback. I think that's fair. But do I think that I can't make the assessment of if Russell Wilson is a forever piece or if he's a piece you got to start thinking about, like, this may not be. I can't make that assessment. There's too much chaos around him for me to actually clearly say that.
So this is what helps me make the assessment, especially if I'm a fan. Hackett was frustrated with him last year, right? And you can say, oh, Hackett, it was your fault. But mm-hmm. when you see how Sean Payton is just frustrated and say, Russ, like, you're getting sacked because you're not hitting a hot route. Like, what are you doing?
The offensive line and then, sucks. It's non-existent.
But if Sean Payton is saying the running back is hot, get it to him quick, it's just like it's in his system. It's built. And you see Russ don't even really acknowledge him. He just keep walking, which us athletes do all the time. But now it's Sean Payton. Do you want to deal with this next year? Or do you want to start fresh? Because this is going to be frustrating for Sean Payton, too, because Russ isn't going to change. I still think he's, like you said, a tier two quarterback.
He's a tier two quarterback.
He can go somewhere that will let him just be him. Right. Maybe like a Tennessee. Well, Mike Vrabel would be like, Russ, you just cook.
But here's the thing. Who is absorbing that contract?
Nobody's picking up that tab.
When you – listen, Russell Wilson's still a tier two quarterback. I'm not going to call him a scrub. But are you picking up that contract, absorbing that contract with what you see Russell Wilson doing or not doing in Denver?
But if you have
the opportunity. Are you like, yeah, bring him here. You don't want that.
But if you have an opportunity to get Caleb Williams, are you passing that up? Just because you're paying Russell Wilson right now? It might not be another Caleb Williams in the next 2 or 3 years.
No, you're not passing it up. I just don't know. You think it's chaotic now? You bring Caleb Williams into Denver
with a
pissed off Russell Wilson who already is getting sacked left and right because he has a crap offensive line, much like he had in his later years in Seattle. You bring in a USC stud who's prime and ready to take his job. You think that's going to go well for the Denver Broncos? You think it's chaotic now? So that's Armageddon.
Armageddon. I'd rather it be Armageddon on the good end where we just eating cash and we just eating that bread that when you go eat it regardless, whether he going to be there or not, it'll be like, I'll still bring Caleb in. It's just like, he's just going to play. And it's just going to be Russell when your money ain't killing us no more. Like, you know you're on your way out.
But I think we're also forgetting the Broncos aren't tanking. They're not even smart enough to tank at this point. They're actually trying to win football games. Like Arizona, you're supposed to be tanking. Stop winning. Which pissed me off from the Cowboys because it's like, why are you actually playing? Like, you have a bigger picture, but I digress. This Denver team doesn't have draft picks. So you don't have a choice but to start answering phone calls. Right. You can't build through the draft. You don't have any picks.
You're right about that.
You got to start taking these phone calls. Like, oh, okay, Jerry Jeudy. All right, what do you want? Like, you don't have a choice. This is your only option.
You got to get some of that back.
So you got to dismantle this locker room. This is the only way you can salvage this partnership of Russell Wilson and Sean Payton. This is your only way to fix it.
It's stressful to talk about. I can't even imagine what, like, John Elway and those guys in the front office is just thinking right now how they gonna make it work, but that's why they get paid what they get paid.
I would like to say that if Sean Payton would have just waited a year.
That's all he had to do, wait 1 year.
You wouldn't be in this situation,
just
sir.
Just wait 1 year.
If you would have waited. Brandon tells this story all the time, and I can say it now because it's over and done. He was in Arizona, I believe it was, and he was at dinner or lunch or whatever, and sitting at the table next to him was Sean Payton and Jerry Jones.
I believe it.
Before Sean Payton took the job in Denver, and Brandon tells me this story, and I said, oh my God, it's happening. I interviewed Sean Payton in the LA Super Bowl, and when I asked him, he follows me on Twitter now, when I asked him, you know, like off camera, I was like, so like you coming to Dallas? He gave me a smirk. His face lit up. He was happy. He was excited.
It's almost perfect. Like it's.
I don't know what happened.
Perfect. It'd have been perfect. And I love Sean Payton, like as a head coach, like
and how much waited, success Sean. He had.
Yeah.
Should have been us, Sean. It should have been us, but I digress. We will see what happens with the Denver Broncos. Like I said, the trade deadline is October 31st at 4 p.m. And the Broncos face the Chiefs tomorrow, Thursday Night Football. We'll have the odds for that game. We'll dissect that on tomorrow's show. But I think we all know how that's gonna end. I know the chat was saying, yay, no Cowboys talk. Well, guess what? Joke's on you because here come the Dallas Cowboys. CD's Cowboys confusion. Now, Dallas Cowboys owner Jerry Jones spoke to the media yesterday, and when he was asked about if he wants to see wide receiver CeeDee Lamb get more opportunities, Jones said, quote, I don't know about that. He went on to say the team needs to spread the ball around to several wide receivers and tight ends. Brandon, stop laughing. Now, Lamb is due for a contract extension, so this is his contract year. And to date, he has only had four receptions in his last – he's only had four receptions in the last five games of this year. So he actually spoke to the media as well. When asked about the identity of this team offensively, Lamb was completely transparent and brutally honest and said, quote, "I don't know." Listen.
What's the identity of this offense?
I don't know.
Should you 5 weeks into the season?
I guess so. I don't know.
How do you guys find it?
I don't know.
Well, that's great. That's fantastic. That's fantastic.
He being honest, because I don't know either.
I don't know either. I'm going to be honest.
Honest man.
None of us know, CD. We're all confused. We're all with you. This is, first and foremost, Jerry Jones talks too damn much. Like, if we're being honest.
It's
like,
comical.
I need you to stop talking. You don't have to give a comment on everything. You don't have to respond to everything. Like, for you to say that your star wide receiver doesn't need more touches. You came out of your mouth. The words came out of your mouth when asked, should CeeDee Lamb be getting more touches? You said, I don't know about that. Jerry, stop talking. You don't need to, like, be an owner. Go chill on the yacht. Like, why? You don't have to do this anymore. Like, you don't have to do this. It's frustrating. I need him to stop talking. That's first and foremost. Stay in the office. Stay in the suite. Stay on the yacht. You have so much money, Jerry. Like, if I had Jerry Jones's money, you would only see me on game day.
Get him a championship, and that'll happen.
No, we can't get a championship until he stops talking first. Shh. Shh. But if I had Jerry Jones' money, you would never see me. I would just pop up to the games with my family. Yeah, go Cowboys. Maybe I would pop up to a practice every now and then in my helicopter. That's I would it. Never speak to the media. I would...
I love Jerry,
I'm going to let the business people handle it. I ain't got nothing to do with that. I'm 70-something years old. Listen, I'm rich. I'm minding my business. Just win me a Super Bowl. That's all. Like, why do you need to do this? Like, it's so exhausting. I'm so tired of it.
I love Jerry. Jerry's at that age, right, where he's older. And he don't care what nobody think. He gonna say what he feels.
All people do not care what they think. That's true. That's a good point.
Open the door for him like,
that's
I got
point.
You. And they be like, shut up. Like, no. My fault. I was just opening the door for you, bro. That's what Jerry is. He don't care that y'all want him to stop talking.
It's like
he gonna let you know
lady,
how he
that
feels.
Old lady sitting on the phone, and she goes, "You think I care? Cause I don't."
That's Jerry 1,000%. But with CD getting his touches, you know, I just think they have to design touches for him. Now, if this was any other team but the Cowboys, because I think Jerry Jones is a great owner. Whereas when it comes to paying his guys, like, he never stingy. He want to get his guys touches. Jerry pays, and he's loyal. He don't release them early. He pays his guys.
I remember he dragged Dak Prescott's contract situation out.
I mean.
Out. And then what happened? He fractured his ankle. And then all of a sudden, you see the team lose. And now it's like, we need you, Dak. Like,
that was literally, in the past 15 years, that might have been the only contract that he dragged out. Because if this was any other franchise...
He dragged out Zach Martin's contract.
Two.
I could go down the list if you give me enough time.
But like, any other team, right? Yeah. A lot of people don't know this. When people are coming up for their big contracts, a lot of teams try to shy away from them and say their numbers are declining, so they don't need a specific number. But like I said, in this case, with Jerry Jones and the Cowboys, that's not going to happen because that's just not what he does. I just think McCarthy has to get CeeDee the ball. I feel like the offense flow better when CeeDee is touching the ball early, whether it's screens, hitting them on just slants and just getting them touches, because if not, he gets disinterested. Like, he don't come alive late in the game if he don't get early touches.
You know, when we spoke about the just blowout of, you know, the San Francisco game, you know, I said this is still a top 10 defense, and I can't put the loss on the defense because, yes, they did give up 40 points.
You had those games.
But there were times where they made multiple stops and the offense couldn't convert and couldn't do anything with those stops. And eventually you put your defense on the field consistently, three and out, three and out, three and out. They start losing a little bit of that magic. You can't rely on your defense solely to win the game. Offense has to score. And I said, for me, the biggest question mark is I don't know who this offense or what this offense is. And hearing that from a player is concerning because for the longest time, you knew the identity of the Cowboys offense. It was a run heavy mm-hmm. offense. You knew that that was their identity. Yeah, Dak would go ahead and pass and he would do his thing. But you knew 9 times out of 10, they were running that football. That was their identity. That's what broke you down. They have shied away from that. And Mike McCarthy's play calling, the predictability, the lack of creativity, I don't know what the strong suit of this offense is. I know that they have a horrible time converting in the red zone. I know half the time it seems like they can't even get to the red zone. You don't know what the secret sauce is of this offense. And hearing that from CD, who's there in the trenches, in and out, every day, practices, you know, workouts, game day, that's concerning because your players don't even know what their role is at this point.
But it's also tough, right? You want to be a run-heavy offense, right? Because that's what you're used to. That's how you win your games. But then when your star receiver is like, I'm not getting my touches, what do you do? Do you want to get him his touches so he can stay happy? Or you just like, Jerry Jones, like, I don't care if you're happy or not. Like, we're going to do what
but
we do.
But what's the alternative is what I'm saying. Like, if you're not willing to give CeeDee Lamb his touches, right? What's the alternative? Because here's my issue is that what I saw in that game was not utilizing CeeDee Lamb and also not utilizing the run game. It was apparent to me that Mike McCarthy, the play calling, the scheme was not run heavy. You mm-hmm. don't, it, I don't know if it's not, you don't trust Deuce Vaughn. You don't trust Tony Pollard in the way that you used to trust Ezekiel Elliott to pound those holes because you're not running them. You're not giving CD more touches. So like, what's the scheme? Just having Dak thrown into the abyss? I'm confused. Like what's the game plan here?
Why did it surprise you as a it Cowboys does. Fan? Like, because, why did it surprise
because
you?
Because even though it surprises me, because even though that they would fall short in games that mattered, you always knew what they were going to do offensively. It
I
was
get that.
Run that
I get
football.
That. I get
sometimes it worked. Sometimes it didn't. This is the first season that I'm watching these games and I don't know what the hell is going on.
But
I, like, I don't know what the game plan is.
I said this Monday. When you play a team, for some reason, Dallas, McCarthy, when they play a team that they feel can score quick, mm-hmm. like, I don't know if it's just mentally, they don't feel like they can run the ball because they feel like, yo, it's too slow. Like, if we don't convert, it's like we're burning too much time. They're going to go score quick. And it's just, I don't know. It's just like psychologically something goes on with the Cowboys when they play an opposing offense who's explosive. They feel like they have to be explosive as well.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever you see them play a team, like, let's just say Dallas is going to play Pittsburgh and Pittsburgh is going to run the ball. Then you'll see the real Dallas come out. Mm-hmm. I don't like the matchup with y'all with the Chargers because the Chargers are going to air the ball out and then Dallas is going to try to do the same exact thing. And that's the – I don't know. It's a recipe for failure for y'all.
Yeah, I'm very confused. And, you know, I said this after the San Francisco game. It's still early in the season. Obviously, you know, that game showcased what this Cowboys team is right now. I still think this is a good football team. I don't think anybody who watches football can say that this is not a good football team. I just think that there's levels and there's tiers. And what that game against the 49ers showcased is that they're not on the level of the 49ers. They're just not.
I think they are. I just think they played their worst game when San Fran played one of their best games.
Here's the thing. If you want to be the best, you got to beat the best or you got to compete with the best. I think that had the Cowboys at least competed and made it competitive and still lost, yeah, there would have been haters and, you know, the Cowboy haters would have came out and Stephen A. Smith would have been like an accident waiting to happen. But if you actually dove into the X's and O's, you would have said, you know what? They competed. It came down to the wire. Like, this, there's something here. I walked away from that game saying, this is a good football team. This is not a great football team, at least not in week 5. I'm a firm believer these next 3 weeks is going to showcase to me and to the fans and to everybody exactly what this team is made of.
But
how do
you
bounce
if you
back
dissect,
from this?
If you dissect the game, y'all got great stops early. Y'all got turnovers early.
Couldn't convert.
That's the thing. That's the thing. Y'all didn't convert off y'all turnovers and stops, and San Fran just got 7. That's why the game, like, got out of whack. If Dak didn't turn the ball over 3 times and they didn't turn that into points, it would have been, what, a 2-score, 2-touchdown game? That wouldn't have been that bad. It just so happened that y'all defense that usually holds up, they bent and they broke because they was on the field just too many times. So if Dak just don't turn the ball over, like, y'all gonna be hard to get, hard to beat this year.
Well, we're going to face the Chargers and Kellen Moore, who's looking for revenge.
That's gonna be a good one.
That's gonna be fun.
But y'all can easily beat the Chargers 35-32. Like, you don't know which Charger team gonna show up.
I don't know which Cowboy team is gonna show up. So I guess we're both rolling the dice here. So that should be fun. That game is 4:25, I believe.
It'll be a good
one. Let me go ahead and see real quick. Stand by. I believe it's 4:25. Oh, no. It's 8:15. Monday Night Football.
That should be live.
Oh, well, the plot thickens. Of course, it's a primetime game. Everybody loves primetime
Y'all
Cowboys
have to play well.
Games.
Y'all have to play well Monday.
I can't lose to primetime games. Those are national games. You know what I mean? Like, there's nothing else to watch but you. Damn it. All right. Positivity. Sage. Manifest. All right. Well, listen, to close out the show, we're going to have a topic about if you don't have haters, you ain't popping. All right. So last week, a Pac-12 assistant coach anonymously accused Colorado's Shedeur Sanders of taking sacks so that his completion percentage doesn't take a hit. Now, per The Athletic, the anonymous coach said, quote, "He holds on to the ball for a long time." The full quote is, "I think they want to rack up some stats for Shedeur. He really holds on to the ball for a long time. I think he takes sacks because he doesn't want to affect his completion percentage. He's playing a little different than he did earlier in the season." Well, Shedeur had something to say about that. In a video shared to Instagram by the quarterback's Hall of Fame dad and coach, Deion Sanders, Shedeur called the anonymous coach a lame and a goofy. Check this out.
He got too much of a brain.
You already stepped, Patton, so what is it?
Tell that coach, whoever said that is a goofy, lame. 100%. And put that in the video, bro. I wish I was on Instagram. Oh God, I would respond to that. Whatever coach said, it's goofy.
Go pop it up!
It's once you throw a pick instead of getting set.
Yeah, man.
Right-handed guy, he'll rather have me than his guy.
Yeah.
I like it.
He said, right-handed God, he'd rather have me than his guy. First of all, the graphic's hilarious. We got an anonymous coach in the graphic there because it's faceless. I hate anonymous reports.
Yeah.
Like, I am somebody who, like, if you ain't gonna say it, don't say it. Like, you hiding behind anonymity is just, like, so corny. First of all, you hiding behind that to a kid is corny. You hiding behind that to a professional athlete is corny. But a kid is even cornier. Like, yo, stand in it. You can do a lot of this to the media. You had a lot of this to say to whatever reporter got the quote from you. Put your name to it. Put your face to it. What's going to happen to you?
And they won't do that because they have to play Colorado. And they don't want that smoke with him with a chip on his shoulder when he come in. I like the trash. So I love everything Shedeur said when he got a chance to pop back off. Shedeur is a guy that love the game, right?
It
comes from his pops. Like, he's not worrying about no stats. He don't care about how many yards he throw for. At the end of the day, Shedeur wants to get that W, right? And just stunt after the game. It's just, that's who he is. That's all he knows. But with Colorado, in anything they do, it's going to come a lot of hate, right? Even when Travis Hunter got hurt, it's just like, well, he playing both ways. If he just played one side of the ball instead of them trying to – anything Colorado does, they know they're going to receive all the hate coming their way. But I love the way they embrace it. You know, they seem like they built for it.
I just feel like, I don't know, like, it's so corny to me. Like, just, I don't know. I'm just somebody who, like, if you can't say it, then don't say it.
Sometimes I feel like nobody even really says it. It has to, like, somebody is thinking this. A reporter is thinking this, but he got to put it anonymous on it for it to be valid.
Why is it got to? It's more valid if it's coming from a direct name.
I don't know.
See, that's why I respect like what Colorado State did. Yeah. That's why I respect what Oregon did. Like, yeah. They put a face in the trash talk. They said Oregon's head coach was like, they looking for clicks, we looking for wins. I respect that. Like, talk your trash, run your mouth, do all of that, and put your face to it. Like, one or two things is going to happen. You either going to get all the glory when you win,
yeah,
or you're going to get all the smoke when you lose. Nothing crazy is going to happen, but you hiding behind a faceless thing is I don't know. I'm not a fan of it. I think it's corny. I just feel like if you're not gonna say it, then don't say it. I just think it's weird.
Yeah, they don't want that smoke. That coach don't want that smoke. Whatever team he coaches for, he do not want that smoke. That's why he hid behind it. But that's not good. That ain't gonna do nothing but just get Shador his mold. He gonna come out and throw for another 350. You know, that's what I love about him too. He feed off that pressure. He feed off that controversy. So
you ever have an anonymous source say something about you? Crazy?
Nah, it could be. I don't pay attention to
anything. You never heard something about like an anonymous source coming to you and said?
Nah, not really. I'm so low-key, Ash. Like, look at my IG. I don't post none. I probably haven't posted since 2014.
You haven't posted since, like I was actually going to collab with him on a video that we did on the show Monday, I think it was. And I'm like, this man hasn't posted since, like, 2022.
Literally,
like,
I wouldn't even have an IG.
This is going to be pointless.
Yeah, like, I didn't even have an IG for the longest, and somebody made me get one. Like, I like to disappear. So if somebody go say something
unicorn.
About me, like my ears just shut off. Like once I hear somebody say it, like it's cool. That's me.
Oh, why is it that you don't want Instagram?
Because,
like, why are you like, anti-Instagram?
Like, I like scrolling and I'm a people watcher. Like, I like to see what everybody's doing. Yeah.
You're a creeper.
Nah. You don't like going to restaurants and eating good food and just watching everybody come in. And no, I love people watching.
You
airport,
like people watching?
Airport, restaurants. I love
What is it
people
about
watching.
People watching that you like?
Because I weirdly try to figure out who they are, what they do. That might be my little acting little thing, like, you know what I'm saying, just always trying to figure out and dissect a person, what they're about, you know.
I'm trying to figure if I'm like a people,
but I definitely,
you know what, I'm gonna be honest, I think it's the New York in me. I like to mind my business.
Yeah
I'm not like a I'm not, it's funny, like things, like I'm observant. Like if like
it's
a, okay
thing.
No, like I'm
word.
Observant. No, I'm not a people watcher, but I'm observant, meaning like, okay, if a crime happened and I was like interviewed,
you gotta figure it out,
and the guy and the cops came to me and was like, yo, the person that did it, what shirt were they wearing, da 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 da, I'd be like, oh, it was green. Like, I'm observant like that. Like,
I think that's even creepier.
I peep my, no. That's the New York in me. I peep my surroundings. Like, I'm always aware of, like, what's going on around me. Like, I'm aware of, like, who's standing where, like, what looks sus, what, like, I'm always around, like, aware of my surroundings. But, like, people watching, like,
you act like I'm staring, like hold
like,
on, let me see how they chewing this. Like, no.
That's what it makes it, that's
no,
what it sounds like.
I literally pan the room when I people watch, like, if they over there toasting and having fun, I'm like, oh, that's a tech group. Oh, them. They
oh,
just
see, I don't do that.
Like,
oh, you make up storylines.
Yeah, I make up whole storylines.
Oh, no. I don't do that. I'm just observing for, like, I just scan the room quickly, observe, like, situations
so that
I know, like. That's 100%
way more creepier than
where,
what I do.
No way. Like, I just want to know, like, where the exits are. I want to know, like, all right, like, okay, uh-huh. Like, I just make sure I know what my surroundings are, like, at all times.
Yeah, but going to IG, like, I don't even know why I have one. I don't like taking pictures. I don't like being, like...
Why don't you like taking pictures? You just think
weird
it's
weird? It's weird to,
can
like,
I,
for me to post
can
for a
I
picture.
Tell
I don't
you,
even know how to take pictures.
I
like,
will tell you this, though. Like, guys taking... this may be, like, sexist, but that's okay. We're gonna have this conversation. Men taking selfies weirds me out.
For me, taking pictures...
Like, pictures, whatever.
Men taking,
like,
pictures, like, at all. Like,
none of
I got
the, like,
a post,
pictures,
like...
None of the, like, pictures, like, if you're, like, out with the boys and you're like, oh, let's get a
slick
real quick.
Yeah, memories.
Or, like, you know,
that's
if,
memories.
Like, you're on vacation and you're, like, your fit's hard and someone takes a picture of you by the pool. Like, but, like, a man, like, posting, like, a... like, a... Like, it's, like...
You did the lips, though. If
Drake
you do
does that. Drake goes... Like, it's... I don't know. There's something about a man, like, holding his phone up and, like,
I
taking a selfie that I'm like, bro...
I get it.
This is a true story. I was in the design district, which is like an area of Miami where they have like all these high-end stores or whatnot. And I walked past, I was at a restaurant down there, and there was this, I was with my girlfriends. We had just like finished like doing some shopping or whatever, and we were getting some food. And there was a guy at the table, like adjacent to like, he was in my sight of view. Good looking. I was like, you know what I mean? I was going to go over there and just be like, he was like with his boys. So like, he didn't have any women around him. Like maybe he's single or whatever. I was going to go over and like, you know, start a conversation. And, yeah.
That's dope. That's dope.
I slid in DMs. Like, hell yeah. What
you
the hell?
Kind of cool.
Heck yeah. Dope. I've slid in DMs before. Like nothing crazy, but like a little like eye emoji.
That's cool.
You got to shoot your shot. You know what I'm saying? So whatever. I was like, okay, he's kind of cool. Whatever. He had like a nice fit on. He was fly or whatever, whatever. And I was like, oh, I'm going to like go over and just say what's up. Like, da, da, da. And then he picked his phone up. And like his boys, I guess one of his boys went to the bathroom. The other one went to go take a phone call, stepped away from the table. So he's at the table by himself. And he picks his phone up, holds it, and starts taking. I said, uh-uh, not doing
it. It's just a flaw. You can't X him out because of his.
I immediately got turned off. And maybe that's wrong. But maybe that's wrong of me.
So if you go,
but I was like, oh, no, I can't do it.
If
like,
you slide on IG and you see a guy that you think attractive, him, he just have a selfie picture on there, would you X him out too?
How, like, is it old? Like an old
selfie? It don't matter when it is. It don't matter.
There's just something about a man.
You just seen him do it in person. If you'd have just looked at his IG and just seen the picture on there, you'd have still been on. Like, even,
it depends. Like, is it like an ASAP Rocky type selfie? Where it's like, selfie got, selfie. His guy's like grills in it. Like, it's
selfie
like,
is
or
selfie.
Is it like a Drake type selfie? Like, what kind of selfie is it?
Nah, that is two different selfies.
Those are two different
you've
selfies.
Seen the guy. I guess his selfie
his
was
selfie,
Drake-ish. Yeah, he got to stop doing that.
Okay, so boom. The guy that I saw at the restaurant made this exact face, but
I get it.
But
okay.
His camera was fake. So his phone had his phone up in the air and was doing this exact facial expression. And I was like,
nah, I get it. I get it.
I just, I don't know. Like, you don't have like if you like saw a fly girl out, there's not something she could do like in real time that you were like, oh, damn it. Like, that's, you don't have like a instant turn off.
I just don't like loud women. She ain't loud, she cool. Like, I find a good
well,
people.
Who's
I'm
loud
weird.
And who would just be randomly loud and like,
you, plenty of women. Like, I don't like, okay, like, I would say more if she's seeking attention. Like, you can be fly and work the room and do it in a fly way. But if you like loud and seeking attention, want to be loud and take shots and talk loud,
like,
and it's
twerking.
Like, yeah, just being loud and just causing too much attention to yourself. Like,
one
like,
of the
I'm
things
good.
That I love seeing, like, I have a lot of like guy friends, like, I've always like, you know, just liking sports, like, gravitated to having like male friends.
Yeah.
And once, and you know, I have male friends who like do very well for themselves, like, some are athletes, some are whatever. So, like, you know, girls are like flocking over them. So, I remember one time being out with one of my guy friends, we're at a restaurant, and this girl obviously was trying to get his attention and keeps walking back and forth, back
they
and
do
forth.
That
like
all the time.
going to the bathroom going to the bar, like,
yeah.
Back and forth, and I'm sitting there like, girl, I've seen you walk
that literally
back
make
and
you
forth.
Not want to get at him instead
you
of just
walk
walking
back and forth.
You see how you said you walk straight? That's why I said that's
not
dope
that
you do that,
but like, where the table is, like, here, the bathroom is here, her table was probably here. And she goes like this every single time.
Yeah.
The longest path. And I'm like, girl, just say hi or stop walking past this table. Like, what is wrong with you? Like, it was driving me nuts.
Yeah, we don't like that. That's why I said it's dope that you just come straight direct. Because women do that all the time. All the time.
What do you mean?
Make their way to keep walking by.
Oh, in case
literally,
you see,
yeah,
you
try
notice.
To stop in front of you and
well,
just
you
see
know,
if you go say something.
I don't
yeah.
always, like, usually, like, in person, I like play it cool. Like, I won't just like go up to somebody, but like, if we're in an invite, like, I won't just like, if we're at a restaurant or whatever, like, that was a different situation. Like, I was gonna try to figure out like a way to like finesse it.
Yeah.
But like, normally, like, if it's like a setting and it's like a party setting, and like, we happen to like, my group happens to like work our way over there, and like,
yeah,
conversation
yeah, yeah.
ensues, then you could like put the charm
yeah,
on. But
easy.
Like, sometimes it's a little like weird just like randomly walking up to somebody. So
Andy
like
with his boys, like,
right.
Excuse
so
me.
Like, you start off like making eye contact and
got
like
to.
You know what I mean?
Got
and like
to.
If he's like a real one, he'll make his way over to you first. But if he doesn't and you really like wanna shoot your shot, shoot it. But usually the eye contact works.
Yeah, that'll do it every time.
Usually if y'all like connect eyes and he looks at you and you look at him and you give him like, he'll make his way over like, hey, yo, what's up? But yeah, the walking of the thing like annoys the hell out of
me. Yeah.
Like it drives, like, and it, truthfully, like it never works. I've never seen it work.
Because men, like you said, that's well off, like we don't want the super thirsty ones. Like we like women that's straightforward.
That's not
like,
true.
Well, at times, it's a time and place for everything. No. It's a time and place. Like, if we want to go have fun, party, be in that vibe, like, we got different vibes. Like, yeah, we want the thirsty one that's going to turn up. But if we're in a certain setting, it's just like, yo, like, no.
I've seen. there's nothing worse, like, seeing, like, a guy who's like super chill and just like whatever, and he got like this obnoxious like girl with him, and I'm just kind of like,
what's obnoxious? What would make her obnoxious?
I just don't like, maybe it's just me, like maybe I'm just like different, like in like behind the privacy of like my four walls and like with my friend group and stuff like that, I won't lie, I can be like loud and obnoxious and crazy, like we make jokes, we're scream, like, but that's like in our space, yeah, you know what I mean? In public, I can't find myself like acting like that. Like I think in public people might even assume that I'm boring, like because I'm just very like chill and just like I'll just like, like a little bop, like I'm not.
It's
full,
a time and a place for everything. Like you can go out and be just.
I'm not full blown. Like I'm just like, you know, like I'm just like, I just feel like the part of me that's like crazy and weird and like obnoxious sometimes and goofy. Like I feel like that's reserved for like my inner circle, so I just don't feel like projecting that energy out to the world.
It's a time and place for everything. You can be in a party, be like, yo, this DJ got it going. And you can have a little tequila and you take your shoes off and it's like, nah, it's going down.
The shoes off.
Just stand on the couch.
I would never take my shoes off. I would never take my shoes off in public. That's the cart. I would literally break my ankles before I took my shoes off in public and started walking barefoot. Are you crazy?
That's funny.
You've seen, you don't have a problem with girls taking their shoes off in
the club? And just standing on the couch? Oh. They not getting on the dirty floor. They can take off their shoes and stand on the couch.
Do they have socks on?
I doubt they wear socks with heels. So.
If you don't got socks on, keep your shoes on. If you can't be in heels all night, this is why I'm not like a heel girl.
Yeah.
Like I'm the girl who like I like boots, like stiletto boots and things like that. But like pumps and stuff. If I'm going like out and can't not just it. To dinner, once my feet hurt, I'm miserable.
That's what I'm saying. That's why so, I give like, them grace. I'm, like, y'all
like,
got on
yo,
heels.
I can like, get a fit off. Y'all. I can get a fit off with, like, flats. I can get a fit off with sneakers. I can get a fit off with boots. Boots tend to be more comfortable, too, because they're, like, they're enclosed and stuff. I don't need a pump to, like, bag a dude. I'm not trying to impress you. Like, my feet are more important. I'm going to be honest. Like, if I, like, taking your shoes off in public is crazy.
I give
people.
Them sympathy. They got on heels. Just like you said, you can't make it happen.
I've
they
never
decided
heard,
to attempt
yo, honestly,
to make it happen.
Real talk, I've never heard a man say that he'd be okay with a girl taking their shoes off in public.
They
this is the first time
you,
I've
then.
Ever heard this.
I'm honest.
Damn.
Let them know. Be real.
I respect it. That's crazy, though. I couldn't do it. Well, I learned something new about Brandon Flowers today, guys, and I hope you did too. This has been Sirius XM Faction Talk 103. So if you're listening on Sirius XM, thank you guys so much. And if you want to go ahead and see all the crazy things that we talk about, me putting on the big cap hat when we're talking about Sean Payton, make sure you guys check out Paper Route on the I Am Athlete YouTube page. Until then, we will see you tomorrow. Bye, guys. I cannot believe the shoes off of me.